Welcome to the podcast that discusses the top stories in the world of professional wrestling. Pay-per-views, breaking news, hirings and firings. There's no topic off limits. We'll talk WWE, NXT, and AEW top stories.
This cannot happen!
For the love of God!
Welcome in to High Spots and Headlocks. And it starts now.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, welcome into episode 2 of High Spots and Headlocks.
We did it. We are a multi-episode show now.
We have more than one. This is big news here. I mean, we might as well just go ahead and, you know, get some on-air time, maybe some interviews with pro wrestlers now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're ready for it. And you know what? We were really close at one point to having our own radio show, I'm pretty sure.
I wouldn't say really close, but no, we weren't really close at all.
I like to believe we were closer than you let on.
Yeah, there was an opportunity there, but probably not.
That would have been pretty cool.
Probably not.
What could have been?
Yeah, well, this is out with the old and in with the new, Bobrowski.
Speaking of new, I'm going to use that as a segue.
Okay.
Our new Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues.
That's right, because, last episode we were going into Game 6, and ever since then, obviously, we have won the Stanley Cup. I will say this, though. The amount of money I've spent on Stanley Cup gear is way higher than what I thought.
All right, we're going to play a game. I'm going to guess how much you spent.
Well, I don't know dollar amount-wise, but I can tell you exactly, like, what I've bought.
You don't want to think about the dollar amount.
No,
mountain,
I
huh?
don't. No.
I do want to get a shirt because, you know, I want to wear that with pride, but okay. I haven't bought anything yet.
Okay.
Just because I haven't looked for it yet. But I'm definitely getting a shirt and probably the hat too because I like the hat a lot.
Yeah, I really like that. I just got the hat. I ordered it actually the day they won, and I just got it in the mail like a couple days ago. So it took a little while. But just got the hat. I just got another shirt yesterday, which I wore yesterday whenever we hung out yesterday. And then,
oh, yeah, I saw the finally one.
Yep.
I said that you should get one that says finally a penis for the eye instead of Stanley Cup. Yeah. I'm a pretty mature person when it comes to jokes.
I mean, that was pretty funny. I'll give it to you. That was funny.
Yeah.
yeah, I think I have, if I remember correctly, I think I have 6 shirts with one on the way, so that'll be 7. And then I also have a zip-up jacket that I bought that isn't here yet. So I'm still waiting on the shirt and a jacket.
Yeah, I'm just adding it up in my head. Just like if each shirt was like $30, that's $108 for the 6 shirts. You have 7 on the way, 210. Yeah,
the jacket was way too overpriced, but it looks awesome, so I had to get it.
Probably $90?
More than that.
Ooh, Andy Eichhausen's gone into the 400s at least.
It's pretty bad. But, I mean, you know, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. They might not do it again.
And it was such a great moment, too. I mean, like, I watched the game, and, you know, I was just in utter shock when we won. Even though we were winning pretty much the whole game, I couldn't even comprehend what had happened. It was incredible. One of the greatest nights that I think we'll ever experience.
Oh, yeah, and no doubt about it.
I wish you would have been there with me because you kind of scared me for a little bit not wanting to watch it.
Yeah, well, I was telling myself just because of how bad Game 6 was, I basically said I'm not going to watch Game 7 because I had a really bad feeling about it. But, of course, as soon as I got home, I started cooking dinner, and I was like, I'm going to fucking watch the game.
I didn't think there was any way you wouldn't watch it, but I was like, I can't believe that this guy, because, I mean, I'm a big Blues fan, but I would consider you, like, in the top 5% of Blues fans.
Yeah, I would too.
I won't say you're the number one fan. But I would say you're in that top 5%.
Well, I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem.
All right, so let's actually talk about wrestling, huh?
All right, well, first, all I want to say is you're the werewolf. I knew it all along.
Yeah, we just so everybody knows, we played a game yesterday. What was it called again?
One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like, I think we're...
Really weird name, but really awesome game.
Awesome game. Yeah, we're going to... I'm going to buy it. You're going to buy it. It's a must. It was so fun. So much fun.
Yeah. It's basically how good are you at lying to your friends, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And Andy's apparently really good. He put all the blame on me, and he was the werewolf on the last game.
Yeah, but...
And I'll be honest, I didn't want to stop playing. I wanted to keep playing that game all night. But I'm glad we played the other games, even though Exploding Kittens sucked because I was out, like, real quick. But that was still fun, too. I would get that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, High Spots and Headlocks brought to you by Ultimate Werewolf.
One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Yeah, we got to get our sponsorship right here.
Okay, yeah. One Night Ultimate Werewolf. The best card
game. Speaking of sponsorship, though. Damn it! Let me talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Speaking of sponsorship, how much did we make on that last episode?
Oh, yeah, like 22 cents.
22 cents? Yeah. Dude, if we make 5 episodes, we made an official dollar on this podcast.
I know, isn't that great?
That's insane.
So
all we have to do is put out a podcast like every day, and we'll have a lot more money.
Yeah, we might have like 10 bucks. Yeah.
That'd be pretty incredible.
Yeah. So, anyway, back to wrestling.
Okay.
After it was brought to a... What was it again? Ultimate... Well,
One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
I am the worst.
You are.
All right. So, let's start it off with some trivia now that we're 7 minutes in. All right.
That's the best way to do it. It's 6 minutes, by the way. We're doing okay. Sorry.
All right. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, because you're not going to get this. So it's going to be great.
No, thanks.
I'm going to be nice to you, and I'm only going to make you name 4 of the 6 English-speaking wrestlers, and that means that's their primary language, who have held the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
4 of them?
4 of them.
Okay.
Oh, shit, he's going to get this.
All right, so...
Name all six.
No. All right, so Brock Lesnar's 1.
Okay.
Kenny Omega.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Vader. I'm pretty sure Vader won.
Okay.
And did Hogan ever win? I'll go with Hogan.
Yes! In your face! Hogan never won, although my question almost was, name the 2 English-speaking wrestlers who have won the G1, and that would have been Hogan and Omega, but I didn't go with that.
Yeah.
Instead, I went with the World Championship, and that was, I can't believe you didn't say AJ Styles.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. You also missed Scott Norton.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He was a 2 or 3-time champion. Yep. And then Bob Sapp, which no one would have guessed.
No.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he became a wrestler after his football career.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So that would have gotten me. But, man, I thought Hogan won for sure.
Nope. He never held the IWGP title.
Damn it.
But, you know, the thing about Bob Sapp was he was actually in WCW when it ended.
Was he really?
But he was in developmental.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, and then he went to Japan and made a name for himself and somehow became an IWGP World Champion. So, who knew?
All right. Well, that was a good question. Nicely done.
Thank you. All right, let's hear your stupid-ass question.
Okay, well, mine's pretty tough. So, mine's going to be about Ric Flair, which I don't know if all of you know, but Ric Flair is pretty much my idol. He's the best of all time. He's the greatest. He's everything. He's the best. So with Ric Flair's title reigns, they're basically saying there was 16, even though there was actually more. But Okay, so the last title reign was actually given to Ric Flair by Kevin Nash. It was awarded.
Okay.
So I need to know, who did Ric Flair actually beat to win his last world title? So I'm not counting the Nash one.
Oh, man. Oh, you're a dirty bastard. Yeah. I feel like there was a Hogan win in his late wins.
There was?
Yeah. Because they had like a cage match or something on Nitro and he won.
They had a cage match on Uncensored. Barbed wire?
No, Hollywood Havoc. But they have one on Nitro too, I'm pretty sure. And I think Flair won, so I'm going to go with Hogan.
That is incorrect. It was Jeff Jarrett
DDP?
On May 22nd edition of Monday Nitro.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. So, Bobrovsky still 0-for in the podcast.
Yeah, but it's only 2-1 right now, so.
Well, no, it's 1-0.
I can easily make a comeback.
How's it 2-1?
Well, you didn't get the question this week.
Well, right, but I didn't get 2 last week.
You got... No, what I meant was... You stomped me on 2, and I've stomped you on 1.
Oh,
two,
yeah, one. Okay. All right. Okay.
Ah, what an idiot!
Okay, well, be a little more clear next time. God damn it.
What's more clear than 2-1?
Just because I've gotten 1 right and you've gotten 0 right. It's 1-0. Shut up.
Okay, right. Well, we can do it like that. Yeah. You're an idiot.
Okay. So, let's go on to our major news stories. Okay. The last few weeks. So, you can go ahead and start it off, because I know you have a lot more stories than I do.
I do. So, this one isn't really news. It's more of a rumor.
Okay.
But it's being rumored that the major push that Shane McMahon is receiving is going to result in him becoming world champion.
Yeah, how about that? What are your feelings?
I feel like this is the worst thing they could possibly do. I get where they're trying to get the heat for the product. They're trying to get a heel champion that people don't want to see, so they're going to be relentless and come to buy tickets to see him lose that title. I get that, but Shane McMahon is not a draw.
Yeah, and to just, you know, to remind everybody, he's not a trained wrestler. He's the owner's son, and... Yeah, they're trying to push him like crazy right now, and he is an effective heel, I'll give him that, but him as world champion, I mean, that just does not make any sort of sense at all. I mean, I can see where they're going, like you said, but, I mean, to have him as your world champion is, I mean, that's something that you would go back to the old WCW days, and you have the world champion be Vince Russo. It's literally like they're making old WCW stuff again, and it's literally making them fail.
I mean, I agree with most of that, but I do disagree with the fact that you said that he isn't a trained wrestler, because he's been in the business a hell of a lot longer than a lot of the people on the roster. He's learned how to wrestle by now. He's a trained wrestler.
I still don't like it. The fact that he's not, I don't know. There's so many other people that would be a better option. Like,
Yeah, that's true.
Just the fact that they're cramming him down our throats as the best in the world when he's literally like a businessman who can wrestle is just stupid to me.
I think it's a huge mistake. I would much rather, I mean, if they're going to do that, because they have given Vince the world title twice, and they've given Vince Russo the title, and they've given, you know, whatever. That happens in every major promotion. A boss character wins the title. But he can't be a champion for long. He can't hold the title for more than a week. There's just no sense in it.
Just don't give it to him. there's no... I don't know. There's really no reason to even give it to him. I hope that's an actual rumor, not truth.
I hope so too, but I have one way that they could spin this and make it good. Shane wins the world title, and then he lays down for Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, but I don't think he would do that, because he's the best in the world. Why would he do that to his lackey?
That or Drew McIntyre decides to Claymore kick the hell out of him and take the title.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that they should just forget about that. I don't think that sounds great at all.
Well, I think they should too, but if they're going to do it, they should at least spin it in a way that's, you know, going to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well.
All right, next news story.
Yeah, I kind of want to just talk about Stomping Grounds for a second.
Okay.
When we were talking yesterday, I pretty much told you I had no idea Stomping Grounds was today. We're recording this on a Sunday. I had no idea it was today. And I thought for sure it was like next week. But then I saw it and I saw the match card. I was like, holy shit, we have a pay-per-view tonight.
But, we do.
Yeah.
If that's what you can call
it. Yeah, right. Well, I just kind of wanted to talk about it for a second. Just kind of give the obvious. One, most of the matches are repeating matches from the last two pay-per-views. Two, the feuds are really uninteresting and don't give any basis to what probably should be happening. And then really the only new matches that are on the card are the SmackDown Tag Team Championships and Joe and Ricochet. So,
and that's going to be the best match of the night, yeah. I feel like.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of just of the same matches. And if you look at it, and there was a report that came out the other day, but it looks like they're having some issues trying to sell out or at least sell tickets to the damn event. Because...
Yeah, last I saw they're about halfway sold out for Stomping Grounds.
Yeah, that is not good.
Which is terrible. I mean, I understand that they're kind of in a downturn, but this is looking more and more like WCW in their final days than ever before. It scares the hell out of me as a WWE fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the fact that there's no interest in this whatsoever. I mean, they obviously didn't do their job. And I hope they see this. I really hope they see what happens at the pay-per-view. Like, they see how terrible the attendance is. I'm sure you're going to see people that, or the writers are probably frustrated, like we talked about last time. But a lot of the fans are frustrated. They're not going to watch. I wish there was some sort of way, instead of, like, you know, the old pay-per-view way, like buy rates, where you can tell if people are interested. I mean, with the network, you can't really tell.
No, they can tell. They can tell how many people signed in to watch.
Or that watch that program, yeah.
So they can definitely tell, but they aren't going to tell us.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
Right. Yeah, I just think most wrestling fans are so uninterested in it that this might be one of the very least viewed pay-per-views in WWE in a long time.
You know what they could have done at least to make it a little bit better, too? They could have announced a special guest referee on Monday or Tuesday as Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. The report is Bray Wyatt's going to be the special guest ref. And I know you didn't like that.
No, it makes no sense. It's not. I mean, I get that they might put him in a feud with Seth, but I would rather see this character built into something in the ring, too, not just promos. I mean, we've been seeing promos for how many months now?
It's been a while.
And we haven't seen him in a ring once. I get that they're building it slowly, but don't then go from a slow burn to world title match right away. Like, let's get a little bit, like, build up here.
I think you and I differ on that one. I think that the Bray Wyatt special guest ref thing would be a really cool idea, just because I'd like to see how he interacts and what happens as the special guest ref. So I think it would be really cool to see. Plus, if the fact that you got probably your best thing other than the 24/7 title going up and being very prominent right away is pretty great. So I think I would like it. You would like Brock Lesnar. I don't really see Brock Lesnar as being a special guest ref.
Well, with the briefcase, it makes it more exciting because you don't know what he's going to do in that match. He could just F5 both of them and then cover Seth and take the title right there.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, it could still very well happen. We'll see tonight. Of course, we're not going to watch, but yeah.
Well, that's not true. I'm going to watch at least some of it, I think, because I'm going to be watching with my dad. Okay. But,
yeah, I'm going to be pissed.
Begrudgingly, I'm doing it because it's my dad, not because I want to watch the pay-per-view. Right.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to watch. I'll be busy tonight, but yeah, I'll read results. Anyway, go ahead. Next news story.
So this one isn't really a shock, but it's finally been announced that Nikki Bella is officially retired from being a wrestler.
Yeah.
Citing health issues. Her neck, I guess, never really got better.
Mm-hmm.
She's still having a lot of complications with that. And also probably the fact that she's not, you know, dating a wrestler anymore. So kind of gets her not as passionate when you're, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're still a draw. So they can probably find some sort of on-air thing for them to do. But you're right. She shouldn't be wrestling anymore. The neck is apparently in really bad shape. And she should be done. And hopefully that's the case. But yeah, no, she still is a draw. I mean, apparently her E! Show still has pretty good ratings. So.
Oh, no. They'll forever have that E! Show, I think. I feel like that's going on as long as keeping with the Kardashians now. Like, they got a top brand on E, so E's going to pay them until they don't want to do it anymore.
Yep. And then I'm just going to mention real quick one of the things that the Wrestling Observer with Meltzer mentioned today, or yesterday, is that McMahon had a meeting backstage, basically told everybody, as far as producers and everybody in charge, that he doesn't want to see wrestling during commercial breaks anymore. Which is apparently why you saw a lot of 2 out of 3 falls matches the last few weeks. And so they're going to kind of do commercial breaks after matches or something like that, especially if they're longer matches. But you're probably going to see shorter matches on Raw now, if that's the case.
Oh, well, I didn't think about that. I thought about the fact that we weren't going to see a match and then have 2 commercial breaks in between that match. That sucks. I get it when it's a long match, though, but when it's like a short 10-minute match and you have 2 commercial breaks, it's like, what are you doing?
So,
I mean, if they're going to have shorter matches on Raw, though, that's going to hurt the product, because they already have short matches on Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fine, I guess, but I get where he's going. You want the people on TV to see the match live and in entirety, but you sometimes can't help it. I mean, if you want a match that's going to be 20 minutes long, you have to take a commercial break. So
yeah, but they could plan it a little bit better. I like what SmackDown does, where they show the match during the commercial break.
I like that too. Yeah, I'm glad.
I don't know why they don't do that on Raw.
I don't know. It's on the same network, so you'd think that it shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I really think they should go back to that for Raw too, so that it would make it better, because you can still watch. You don't have to hear the announcers talking the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people watch the show on mute.
I don't blame them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, they repeat the same stuff like 8,000 times.
Yeah. All right, what else you got?
Well, they're talking about potential WrestleMania spots for the future, not next year or anything, but
I saw that.
One that I was interested in was Chicago, because, you know, that's nearby, and we went to the last Chicago one. But the biggest one that I thought, and I really hope they do this, is London.
I did see that. I think that would be a great move, having a Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, I would love that. Plus, it puts WrestleMania during the day, which is way better for us, because if you're watching it during the day, you don't have to stay up until 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night to finish WrestleMania.
That's right.
It was way too damn long this year. And, you know, WrestleMania is always going to be long, I feel like, but at least put it a little bit sooner so that we don't have to stay up till late just to see a main event that's going to have a botched finish.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a really cool idea. I mean, with how crazy the crowds are there and how early it would be on that Sunday, that would be cool. And then another thing that you would have to think about is how cool would NXT be having it there. I think that would be awesome.
Question, do you do a NXT TakeOver that weekend, or do you do an NXT UK TakeOver?
They would have both matches on there.
Yeah, they probably would, but I feel like it would be really cool if they gave UK the spotlight that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Since it was in London. Maybe give them more matches, have a couple of normal NXT, but have a lot more UK. I don't know.
Well, the problem with the UK brand is not a lot of people watch, so it's pretty difficult to put your top UK guys on that NXT TakeOver because, I mean, you don't have a lot of known stars. I mean, you have probably Mustache Mountain, you have Walter, and you have Pete Dunne.
I
mean,
yeah.
Who else? I mean, they're really
Trent Seven.
Well, yeah, that's why I said Mustache Mountain.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, come on.
I'm cool like that.
Come on. So I think they would put both of them on there. I think that's a good idea. That would be cool. Now, my thought originally, just because I know the town and I know the city and I think it would be awesome, would be Vegas.
Vegas would be really cool, but I think that's going to be an AEW stomping ground now.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. I am pretty sure that would be... I mean, just because... To have a successful WrestleMania, you have to have a good venue. You have to have a good city. You need to have cool things to do in the city, which is why they go to New Orleans twice now. And then why they go to L.A. and New Jersey, New York. They go to all those places because there's so much to do. Well,
they don't go to St. Louis.
Being on the fucking Vegas Strip, oh my God. Like, that, with full of wrestling fans, it would be insane. Absolutely
insane. It would be insane. I'm pretty sure you would buy a ticket the day it came out.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I would definitely go to that WrestleMania.
I'm still jealous you went to the New Orleans one.
Oh, it was great. It was phenomenal.
I bet.
I can't wait to do another WrestleMania again. It was so much fun. All right. So I'm going to do one more quick thing, and that is talking about the 24/7 title this weekend. So... As we all know, it's been pretty amazing. The whole 24/7 storyline, everything they're doing, they're giving wrestlers creative freedom, and they're letting them do kind of things they want to do. Well, this time, first of all, Drake Maverick beat R-Truth, so he was the champ.
Yeah.
And during his wedding, which he actually was getting married, during his wedding, he decided to attack, or R-Truth decided to bring a referee in, attack him from behind, do a schoolboy roll-up, and R-Truth became a six-time 24/7 champion.
God, this stuff is great, right, Andy? I mean, that was a perfect angle, and I'm pretty sure this was Drake Maverick's idea, because I don't think
it was.
Anyone has the balls to say, hey, can we film a segment at your wedding?
Yeah, no, it was definitely his idea.
He's just really running with this title. He just keeps pitching all these great comedic ideas for it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I am becoming a huge Drake Maverick fan because of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting himself over. I love it. And, he got married before that was filmed. And then they filmed that to go along with the joke. But he's just doing some great stuff. And I'm really happy for him that he's getting out there and just getting himself over with this title.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I think the fact that they're having R-Truth kind of be the face of it is perfect. Kind of like what they did with Crash Holly in the hardcore title.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, he's the perfect guy just because he's got charisma and he's hilarious. And I don't know, just the things that they've done with the title has been pretty fantastic. And I think all wrestling fans would agree that that is literally one of the only things that's viewable on WWE TV.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, there's not much right now. And the fact that they're killing it with this 24/7 title just gives me some hope that they'll find more creative ideas to bring it back.
Yeah. I hope so, man. I still don't have faith, but I mean, that's a great move. And I feel like that since they're giving them creative freedom, that's giving those lower card guys something to kind of look forward to. And, you know, they can be on TV now. That's the best part.
Yeah, the more people on TV, the better, especially when there are more people that we don't usually see on TV. I'm really already sick of this wild card rule and seeing the same 8 wrestlers on TV each week.
Yeah,
that was my problem with the Attitude Era when they had SmackDown, was they had a lot of the same people on SmackDown after like it got to where it was just WWE. So I guess more the Ruthless Aggression Era, but it felt like for a while before they did the brand split that SmackDown was just a rehash of Raw.
Yeah. It's been pretty unviewable. I think we can agree on that.
For sure.
So what else you got before we take some breaks coming up?
Yeah, I just got 3 more news items here. So,
all right.
Lars Sullivan is going to be out for 6 to 9 months.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, his injury was worse than expected. This is his second injury or something that derailed his push. And I don't honestly see him coming back from this one.
Really? You think he's done?
I don't think he's done wrestling. I don't think he's going to get the push that he was getting when he comes back.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. I don't think he should have gotten a push in the first place.
I don't either. I honestly don't think there's anything special about Lars Sullivan. And that's no offense to him. He's just a big guy, though. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him do anything in the ring that's been like, oh my god, I have to see this guy. And, you know, they really look at injury history as something that derails a wrestler's push. This is 2 instances where they put the spotlight on him and then he wasn't able to deliver because of an injury or something else happening. And I just think that that's killing it.
Yeah, and he's been in a 5-star match, so he's obviously a great wrestler, right?
Come on now, Eyhausen. Don't even start.
5-star Lars, man.
That was the ladder match, right?
Right.
Yeah. There was a lot more into that puzzle than Lars Sullivan, I promise you.
Hey, 5-star match. That's
fuck you.
No, I don't care. I mean, Lars Sullivan being out, it doesn't affect me in any way. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, honestly, all it does is maybe give someone else that could use the push more, like Aleister Black, more spotlight.
Yeah, what the hell are they doing with him?
They're waiting for someone to answer his challenge for a fight, I guess.
I don't know.
Even though several wrestlers have and they still haven't done anything.
Yeah, I really don't know what they're doing with a lot of people on the main roster, but Aleister especially. They just keep throwing vignettes out there, and that's pretty much it.
And to answer a question we had last time about how many wrestlers were on the current roster, someone did the math on everyone but Performance Center wrestlers that weren't on NXT yet.
Mm-hmm.
201 wrestlers between all the brands.
Wow.
And we see how many on Raw and SmackDown?
I'm telling you, man, spring cleaning. I guess summer cleaning now. Just get them out. Just start fucking releasing people, and then they'll get it better. I think to have that many people on a roster is so stupid.
Well, I can tell you right now that's not happening because Maria and Mike both just signed a 5-year contract, so they're not doing any spring clean.
Yeah, well, that's fine with them because they're 205, and 205 roster is not very large, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me. I mean, and they're good people, I guess, whatever. But I just don't see them getting rid of people. I see them holding on to contracts like WCW did, trying to keep people away from AEW.
They might do that. I guess we'll see. I mean, we can see what AEW is going to look like in the fall. But I can see that happening, especially with the Revival.
I mean, the Revival is for sure going to AEW. 100%. There's no way they don't go AEW.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they still haven't signed a contract is kind of telling.
But at least now they're kind of getting pushed. I mean, they're champions. They're starting to get featured on Raw every week, and they're actually doing some good stuff now. So at least they're trying to salvage that relationship.
Yeah, they're trying to win them over. We'll see if it works. I don't think it's gonna.
I mean, you can argue that they are over now because of what Vince did.
No, they were over way before that.
No, not on the main roster. They were over with the NXT fans, but now I feel like they're over with the main roster, too.
I think they were over before the humiliation. but yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
I that's fine, but I feel like you're wrong on this.
Okay.
One.
All right, what else?
So fuck you.
And there's the fuck you count up to one today.
No, that's two, I think.
Two fuck yous.
Yeah. And hey, let's make it free. Fuck you.
And there's three.
Keep the counts coming,
let's
folks.
Let's keep the counts.
All right. Okay. My next news item here. Netflix has announced that they have partnered with WWE to make a movie for the streaming service called The Main Event.
Okay.
It's going to be about some stupid wrestling storyline. I don't know.
So it's going to be an actual like wrestling-related movie?
Yes, it's going to have several wrestling WWE superstars in it, like Kofi Kingston. I think Sheamus is in it. It's going to be about a guy trying to break into the wrestling business or something. I don't know.
All right, well, that sounds all right. I'll watch it. Why not?
I mean, yeah, it's on Netflix. I'll watch it, but it seems a lot like maybe it's Ready to Rumble-esque.
Okay. Well, I love Ready to Rumble, so that's fine with me.
Yeah, no, I enjoy Ready to Rumble, but I don't know if we need another type of Ready to Rumble. We'll see.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you watch Glow, but I mean, Glow,
I love Glow.
Glow is fantastic. That's new season coming out pretty soon too. So apparently Glow is doing well. So yeah, just keep throwing wrestling stuff out there if it's working out for you.
I can't wait for this new season, but I have a really. I really feel like it's going to be the last one, and that's going to make me sad.
Could be. Yeah, it could be.
Because they barely renewed the third season, so.
Oh, really? Oh, not doing as well as I thought then. Okay.
No, it's doing well. It's just, you know, Netflix is putting the axe to a lot of their shows now, so. Well,
that's very true. All right, what else you got?
So, ESPN's award show, the ESPYs. Yeah. Now has the best WWE moment as a reward.
Yeah, I wonder how much WWE paid him for that one.
I don't think they paid him anything. I think this is smart promotion between the two brands. And they work together a lot. So I feel like this is something that ESPN came up on their own. Oh, like, WWE's been a part of the ESPYs for the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah, but I don't think they came up with this on their own. There's no way. They had to get paid some serious cash to do this.
No.
Well,
they realize that the fans are there on their shows. Like, they're looking at their WWE sub website on their site, and I feel like they did this on their own. It doesn't hurt the brand. You know, it's all-around sports, WWE sports entertainment. It's going to be on there.
I just think the casual sports fan that would tune in to watch the ESPYs doesn't give a flying fuck about WWE.
Yeah, but maybe one or two of them see the best WWE moments and they decide to tune in.
What if they get booed? Like, what if they start doing the award and they just get booed?
If that happens, I don't see it being there next year. But
you
we'll
think?
See.
Probably not.
So the nominees are Kofi winning the world title at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Becky winning both titles at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Ronda Wendell wins title at SummerSlam. Yeah. And Roman's return on Raw from cancer.
I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I originally thought it was going to be Becky winning both titles.
It's going to be Roman.
And the more I think about it, the more I think it's going to be Roman.
It's going to be Roman.
Yeah.
It should be Kofi, because I feel like that was the best moment, legitimately, for wrestling this year.
Yeah.
They're going to go with the feel-good story of Roman, which is fine.
Yeah, no, it's a good story. It really is. But
it's probably number two on that list, maybe number three, depending on how you look at Becky.
Yeah, I still think Becky is probably the bigger thing, just because it was first women's main event. But they're going to go Roman, for sure.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that they're going to go Roman, because he's the main star appeal. I'm sure WWE put some feedback on what they want to happen to, because that's just how Vince is.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's some good news stories.
I got one more.
Come on.
Yeah. No. Come on. This is Jon Moxley. He's the hottest thing in wrestling right now. All right, so John Moxley is not allowed to wrestle in the U.S. on television for anyone other than AEW. So he could not be in the A block of the G1. What are your thoughts on that?
Makes sense. I mean, you're going to have New Japan be his primary, Japanese, I guess, wrestling organization. And then in the U.S., you'll have Moxley as AEW. That's totally fine. I totally get it. I know there's a lot of issues with, like, his theme song. That was Jericho. With Jericho's theme. But Jericho's thing is pretty much exactly the same. He's going to do AEW, and he'll do New Japan every once in a while. But I totally get it. That's a good working relationship as of now they have.
But yeah.
I don't mind it at all. I totally get it.
Yeah, I get it, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like having your U.S. champion not able to be on U.S. TV for you. It's kind of weird.
That's a little silly.
I mean, they could have given him another title, I guess. I don't know. I'm just nitpicking, I guess.
No, I get where you're going with that. I mean, they could have given him, like, the Intercontinental title, which is a big deal over there.
But yeah.
Instead, they went with U.S. title. And if you're not going to be able to defend that in the U.S., that's a little silly. I didn't even think about that, so that's a good call.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we take up enough time for news.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So that went a little bit longer than we expected, but you know what? There was a lot of news this week.
Yeah, there was. And whenever we come back, we'll talk about our main topic of the day, which is the rise of AEW and what's contributed towards that rise. So, we'll see you back here in just a second.
All right. And we're back.
Now we have to hear your voice on part two, right off the bat.
Well, that's the fans' choice, actually, is to hear my voice.
Yeah, so. I couldn't imagine the amount of fan mail you got after that first episode.
I would say 2,632 emails, if I'm being correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
And not even the handwritten ones.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't include those. I got at least another 1,500 of those.
Wow, that is impressive.
You know, it's hard being a celebrity at my age.
Yeah, and the main host of the podcast, I might add.
Yeah, this is the High Spots and Headlocks with Steve Bobrowski.
Featuring.
And his sidekick, Andy.
His sidekick.
I mean, that's what the recording says here. It says Steve Bobrowski, and then it says Andy. You don't even have a name, like a last name.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that shows that's more of a sidekick thing, right?
Yeah, you're just, it's Stevie and Andy. It's not Andy and Stevie. That sounds retarded.
Yeah, that does sound bad, actually.
All right. So do you want to get into AEW here?
Yeah. So let's kind of talk about AEW and how it's kind of gotten into a big deal, because there's been a lot of things that's happened recently. Number one on my list is the success of Double or Nothing. I think what they did and how they made the card was pretty brilliant. I mean, they had their pre-show, which had two or three matches. I think it was either two or three. But the pre-show had the Battle Royal, which was a great idea because it pretty much showed all of their mid-card talent and kind of gave you right away.
And some legends.
What?
I said, and some legends.
Yeah. They threw Billy Gunn and Tommy Dreamer in there.
Glacier?
Glacier, yeah.
He's a legend.
No, well, I don't know about that, but he was a wrestler back in the 90s. I really liked the Battle Royal. It was really entertaining, and I thought they had showcased a lot of people in there that I thought were pretty good. I mean, MJF is pretty great. I really liked him right off the bat. Let's see, who else was in there? Hangman Adam Page was already a big deal, so I thought he was good in it. I'm trying to figure out. Orange Cassidy was in it. They debuted him. He was great. I really liked the Battle Royal a lot. And of course, the matches itself were fun to watch. I think the women's division's a little lacking right now, but they'll build that up.
They had two women matches on the card, didn't they?
Yeah, but I just don't think it was... I mean, they're not high-quality talent like you'll see in NXT or WWE. So...
Really? Yeah. I heard that the Triple Threat was amazing. Or the Fatal 4-Way.
I wouldn't call it amazing. I mean, they're talented, don't get me wrong, but I mean, Awesome Kong is good, but she's getting up there in age. And then they have Aja Kong too, who's like probably 75 at the time. So,
well, I think that was more for just the appeal of having someone as legendary as Aja Kong on the show. I don't think that had anything to do with who's going to be in their women's division.
Yeah, I think the division has some talent. I mean, don't get me wrong, it does. But, I mean, Awesome Kong, I really don't think that they should feature her as a premier wrestler. I like Dr. Britt Baker. I think she's great. Allie is good. And I'm sure they'll have good talent come through. But if I was AEW, make Britt Baker your star, because that's who.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's 100%
who it's going to be. Oh, no. We both said 100% at the same time.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, that was fine.
All right. Well, just, yeah, the success of Double or Nothing, you had Moxley debut. You had a great match with the Rhodes Brothers, which sets up another match in the future as far as tag team match. And then you have two matches set up right away for All Out in Chicago. So what they did was fantastic. Great, great debut pay-per-view.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, that you're 100% right on. They had a fantastic event at Double or Nothing. However, I don't really think that's the first thing that gave them the momentum. But definitely it's continuing.
So what do you say?
I feel like... What?
What do you say would be?
I would say All In. The first one, even though it wasn't AEW, it's what made AEW.
Yeah.
I mean... It started, Dave Metzler made a comment about how Ring of Honor could not sell 10,000 tickets for a wrestling event. And then Cody and Young Bucks were like, bet we can. And they created this All-In pay-per-view, sold it out, and there you go. They got the fire from that event.
Which was a good pay-per-view. But, I mean, it kind of just started the word about AEW, even though they weren't kind of necessarily a thing. But that's kind of started the hype, I guess.
Yeah, I think it absolutely did. I mean, when you have that big of a success doing a wrestling event, way more than they could have imagined. And, I mean, they had good numbers on TV. I mean, they had a good amount of people by the event. I mean, 100,000 for a non-WWE wrestling startup, that's pretty good for a first pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And Double or Nothing did like triple or quadruple those numbers. So, I mean, it's insane how much momentum they're building. And it all started with All In, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I still think it's more so Double or Nothing, but I see your point. I see your point. Another thing I think is great about the organization is Tony Khan. I know you watched the Stone Cold podcast, so you can kind of review that a little bit. But to me, I feel like he is the perfect owner for wrestling fans. I mean, he's going to kind of give the reins to Cody and the Young Bucks and whoever is doing their creative work there, and give wrestlers their, you know, he's gonna listen to those guys. He already pretty much said, I mean, I'm a fan, and I want to see the best possible product. I'll stay out of it, and you were the ones that have the good creative control here. Let's see what you can come up with. That's the kind of owner I want to see if I'm a wrestling fan.
It made me giddy with joy when I listened to that podcast, because I could tell in the first 10 minutes that Tony Khan was a huge wrestling fan. He knew his stuff. He loved the business. He appreciates it. He cares about it. And to see someone that's just that, like, energetic about the wrestling business, And I mean, he's a billionaire. I mean, this guy is not someone that you would think would be like super huge into wrestling, but he was spitting out facts about NWA and WWE that I didn't know, and he knew it because he's that really? Big of a fan. Like, he's been a lifelong fan. He was talking about, like, when Austin first came up in WCW and talking about how he knew he was going to be a star back then. And I'm like, really? Because, like, when I saw the first couple matches, I wouldn't have thought that. Like, I mean, I didn't watch back then, but I watched old, like, wrestling pay-per-views, and I thought he was okay, but he was nothing like what he was in WWE.
And I think Bischoff probably didn't realize it either, obviously, but... that's really cool how he even talked about old NWA stuff too. So he's been a fan for a long time.
Yeah, he put over Dustin and Austin because he said whenever Dusty and Dustin left WWE, that's when he became a WCW fan because he was big fans of them, so he wanted to watch them. And that's when he got into, you know, the NWA WCW. It was just really interesting. Like, he actually watched the pay-per-view with the scramble on pay-per-view like we used to.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I mean, that's our childhood. Like, we would do that not for wrestling so much as the Spice Channel, but, you know, it is what it is.
The Spice Channel, you're bringing me back now.
Dude, that was our form of internet porn, was to watch a scrambled image of maybe seeing a nipple. It was awful.
Good stuff. Spice Channel, back in the day.
I thought you would like that. I'll go over to the podcast a little bit later on if you want.
That sounds good. So what else you got as far as what contributed to the success?
Well, I think part of it was just a creative freedom and hunger that Cody and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega all had for wanting to, you know, put out a wrestling product there that the fans could enjoy and that they could do what they want to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I mean, you have guys that are probably from WWE that are super frustrated about how they were treated and things. They want to actually get back in and love the wrestling business again. So you have, like, Cody especially. I mean, you couldn't imagine he wanted to be Stardust for the rest of his life. So you have Moxley who is now going to, who basically said he loves wrestling again, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear, too, because I thought he wasn't going to wrestle anymore after he left.
So I just love that. I think that's an awesome thing. Especially for Moxley, he's kind of reignited the passion. I think one of the cool things to just kind of talk more about things that they've done to kind of draw up the excitement. One, the fact that All Out, whenever the tickets went on sale, sold out within minutes. I mean, that is unbelievable. And not only that.
Yeah, Dave Metzler said that they could have sold out Soldier Stadium, how many people were. When to get tickets.
And more than that. I mean, I think the demand was about 70,000 to 80,000 people trying to buy tickets. So if you think about that, I mean, that's WrestleMania. So you could have had a WrestleMania type event with in Chicago at All Out, and you would have sold tickets immediately. I mean, you would have sold out within probably an hour if you're going to sell out 60,000. So...
I mean, I think that's a little ambitious. I don't know if they could have actually done that, just because, like, there's a lot of, like, ticket scalpers and, like, third-party websites that will buy a whole bunch of tickets and then resell them. I don't know if they were all legitimate fans that were going to the event. I feel like a lot of those numbers were
those two. It sounds like it's legit, but how cool would that be just to say, I mean, you're not even on TV yet. And you can possibly sell out $60,000, $70,000 stadium. That's unbelievable, man. That's unheard of.
That's huge.
So,
I mean, I really hope it's true. But one thing I've learned about the wrestling business is when you hear those kind of facts, you got to take them with a grain of salt because It's the wrestling business, and they work people over all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I found it interesting. Like I told you before, I was reading all those like Wrestling Observer flashbacks. A lot of numbers that WWE used to give out were book numbers. They were just work numbers that they would put out for the public to perceive themselves as bigger than they were, because they weren't publicly traded at the time, so they could. AEW is not publicly traded right now, so they can do the same thing.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Now, WWE can't as much anymore because they have investors that they got, you know, go to. So they can't just say, oh, yeah, we had 100,000 people in line for Stomping Grounds, but we only sold half of it because there was an issue with the ticket. They can't say stuff like that anymore. Yeah.
I really hope, I mean, I really hope it is true. That, I think that would be really cool for their business. And
I really hope it is too.
I mean, just imagine what it would be like whenever that TV show starts. And oh my gosh, yeah, it would be just absolutely huge to do, to sell out 15, 20,000 seat arenas right off the bat.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think they can do that easily. I think if they start booking bigger arenas, they could go with 15 or 20,000. I wouldn't go past that just because if they start to lose their momentum at all and it shows in that crowd, it's going to bury
them. Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I don't think they're going to be. And if I was them, I would still focus on those 9 to 10,000 seat arenas, because you're going to, one, sell them out, which is awesome. But you'll have people trying to basically get the hunger to go to as many events as possible just to see it live, because they can't buy a ticket because it's sold out all the time. So the interest.
Classic supply and demand.
That's right. I think one of the other things that I was going to talk about was the TV show itself, which there was debate on whether it was going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, it looks like it's going to be Wednesday, as they trademarked a Wednesday Night Dynamite as the name of their show. So
they did that recently, but they also have Tuesday Night Dynamite still trademarked.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, that was trademarked about 4 months ago or so.
Okay.
So it could be either one, but I think it's going to be on Wednesday because they recently did that on the 18th.
Yeah.
And that means that they're probably leaning towards a Wednesday show. And I think Wednesday Night Dynamite is a great show name.
Yeah, plus Wednesday, I think Wednesday is the absolute perfect time to put it on. I Tuesday you'd be competing. Well, it's not going to be competing with SmackDown since SmackDown's moving to Friday. But I just think Wednesday is the perfect time to do it. I think Tuesday, I don't know. It just seems like Wednesday would be good for them. And I don't know. I like Wednesday. I mean, yeah, you'd have NXT, but still, come on.
That just means you get 3 hours of wrestling instead of just one on Wednesday.
Yeah. Assuming it's going to be 2 hours. We don't know yet.
Tony Khan said it on the podcast.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Good deal. 2 hours.
He said they're going to have a 2-hour live wrestling show every week.
TNT, right?
Yep.
Now, are they going to do kind of like what NXT does and have it at Full Sail every time in Jacksonville? I'm sure they would have a lot of shows in Jacksonville since that's going to be the hub.
Yeah, that was also asked on the podcast by Austin, and Tony Khan said that they were going to tour.
Wow, right off the bat, huh?
Right off the bat. So they're going all in on this, no pun intended, but they're making waves, and it's looking good.
Good stuff. What else you got?
I mean, I basically just got the Austin podcast. I was going to let you highlight more of the rise here.
Well, I think one of my other things is the fact that they've built up what their titles mean. I think that's a huge thing in wrestling. You want to make your titles a big deal. One, they had their world title debuted on the last pay-per-view on Double or Nothing. They had Bret Hart come out and show their world title.
That was a big move, too. I mean, honestly, having someone as big as Bret Hart, who's one of the, you know, best decorated champions in WWE history, come on your first official show and show off your world title, That's huge. That's putting over that world title huge, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you look at how they debuted the world title. First of all, the world title looks incredible. It looks awesome. So, you have the world title looking great right off the bat. You have a great feud. Well, not we don't really know where the feud is going to be yet, but you have a good match right off the bat with Jericho and Hangman Adam Page for the world title. And then you have the women's title is going to be debuted at All Out. So they're going to show what that's going to be. So right away, you're getting two world titles being debuted. You're also going to have a tournament for the tag team titles.
And I don't know I cannot wait for this tournament.
I mean, you love tournaments.
I think they're the best thing about wrestling. I can't wait to see this tag team tournament. I hope they do it round robin style, because you don't see that in WWE at all. I think that'd be a really fresh way to approach it.
Okay.
And plus, that way we get to see all the teams face each other and we get to see more great tag team wrestling.
Yeah, I think from what I understand, especially since I think one of the matches in the tournament, or I guess the I don't know what it is, it's a qualifying match, it looks like, is there's three tag teams in a tournament qualifying match at Fyter Fest. And I think it's SCU, the Best Friends, and then I can't remember what the other team is. Damn it. I should have looked at it. But anyway, so the winner of that gets a first-round bye in the tournament, apparently.
Oh, so they're not doing round-robin.
It looks like an actual just regular tournament you would see.
I'm just excited for them to do that, because I'm sure they will eventually go to Robin Round type tournament.
Robin Round?
Round Robin, sorry.
Come on, Bobrowski.
Whatever. Who cares? Fuck you. That's four.
That's four, yeah. The count is four. So another thing that we can talk about real quick is the fact that we're going to have two. They're not technically pay-per-views, I guess. They're just going to be random shows, Fyter Fest and Fight for the Fallen, as free on Bleacher Report Live.
Dude, I'm so stoked for that. So Tony Khan talked about that a little bit on the podcast as well. Fyter Fest is like a video game wrestling show together. It's like a festival that highlights both video gaming and wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they're just having the card there. And that's like a Kenny Omega's project. Like, this is something that they decide to help him out with, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then Fight for a Fallen, I mean, I can't wait for that one either. They're both going to be free. I'm definitely watching both of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. I think Fyter Fest looks like a really good card. By the way, Private Party is the other tag team. I just looked it up.
Okay. Look at you doing some research during the podcast.
Yeah, I know. So, and I just like their roster. Their tag team roster, there's so many good tag teams already, and with more to come, I'm sure. So, good start. Good start for AEW, for sure.
Definitely.
And that's pretty much what I had. So, if you want to talk about the podcast real quick.
Yeah, so Stone Cold came back with his podcast, and his first guest was Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold immediately put over Double or Nothing, said they watched it twice and he loved it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's good praise.
He did say that Christopher Daniels is actually the head of talent relations for AEW. I didn't know
really?
That.
Really? How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, looks like SoCal Uncensored is winning the tag titles.
Why is that?
Because Christopher Daniels and SoCal Uncensored.
Oh, that's sorry. Head of talent relations, not head of booking.
Yeah. I know. But he's been in the wrestling business forever, so I get that.
But, yeah, they really put over the Cody and Dustin match when they talked about Double or Nothing. And Tony Khan feels like they put on one of the best pay-per-views of all time for wrestling, which I thought was really cool. He was that into the show.
I wouldn't say that, but good for him for trying to think that way.
Right. let's see, what else do we have here?
Man, I'm going to start calling you Dead Air Bobrowski. Good Lord.
I mean, you could help me by talking a little bit instead of sitting there, too. I said, let's see what else I have here.
I'm just waiting.
Oh, man, I'm going to punch you right in the fucking face.
Yeah.
Next time I see you, I'm doing it.
No, you won't, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm doing it. You'll see. Hold on. There's a lot of notes here. I'm going over them.
Okay, well, that's fine. You can go ahead and go over them, and I'll just randomly talk. Oh, little funny story. You know how I'm saying I'm watching my 2000s Raw back and forth?
Yeah.
So I'm watching an episode right now, and Godfather came out. This is right whenever the Right to Censor started. Godfather came out with the host. You know who was one of the hosts? It was Victoria.
Yeah, she wins the hardcore title like that.
Oh, well, it wasn't during this episode, I guess.
No, but she will soon.
Okay.
You're welcome. I spoiled it for you.
No, thank you.
Tony Khan did kind of imply that Ric Flair was their original choice for debuting that world title, by the way.
I heard that.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And Austin talked about his podcast with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Or John Moxley, whatever you want to call him. Yeah. And he basically, you know, said that it still haunts him that how bad that podcast went and how he kind of buried Dean on accident by making him shut out during the interview and, like, just felt the weight of the world on his shoulders over it.
Really?
But he said that he got a hold of John and talked to him and, like, everything's cool with them and they're actually going to do a podcast soon together again.
Oh, that's good.
So I thought that was really cool just to, you know, Austin seems like he's just such a great guy to the people, too.
And he's still such a big wrestling fan, so that's what I think is really cool.
They did mention that there will be a women's tag team title.
Really?
As well, yep.
Oh, okay. I mean, they're going to have to get a lot more women on their roster, but yeah, in the future, okay, that's
I think it's coming, Andy. I think that they're going to slowly build to it, especially when once the TV show starts, they'll be able to build some more stars in that women's division. I think it'll be okay.
Okay.
He compared Jon Moxley being in AEW to Austin being in ECW.
Yeah. Well, I can see that. But see, Austin in ECW, he didn't wrestle, though. Like, he only had maybe a few matches at most. So I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but I guess as far as hype, whenever Austin came into ECW, he was, I mean, hyped right away. So yeah, I can kind of see it that way.
He did mention that there will not be an off season. That was a topic that a lot of people thought might happen.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do an off season. However, they're only going to do a couple of shows a week. Once they get rolling.
Okay.
He said that they won't even be on the road for 4 days a week. That a lot of talent, they're going to have so much talent, he said, that they aren't going to have to be at every show. And you're not going to feel like you're missing out because they're going to just feature more people. So it's good. You're not going to be like, oh, well, Jon Moxley was on this show. Or, oh, Kenny Omega didn't appear here.
Did they do anything or did they say anything about monthly pay-per-views or no?
No, they did not talk about the monthly pay-per-views at all.
Okay.
They just, you know, basically mentioned that they were going to have TV every week and a couple of house shows, but nothing major on that end.
They'll probably have a pretty decent amount, I would think. I mean, I as far as wrestling goes, I really like monthly pay-per-views. Or if you did... I don't really like every other month. I don't think six is enough. Yeah, really? I don't like that. But I mean,
I think six would be perfect because that's not oversaturating the market.
Yeah.
And you have 8 weeks to build each pay-per-view. You don't have to do 3 months of the same feud. You can do one or two matches in a feud and be good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I can kind of see it just thinking about NXT and you know, how they do their pay-per-view.
I mean, yeah, NXT only has what, four?
Four or five, yeah. So I guess I can.
And you love all those. You can't wait for those. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I guess I could see it. I don't know. When I think about it more, six kind of makes sense. But we'll see what happens. I don't know.
I think it'll eventually build just like WWE did, where it's every month. But I feel like to start, they should focus on 4 to 6 a year and see how that works.
I think they need to have more than 4.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right. What else you got?
I don't really have too much else. I mean, like I said, Tony Khan talked a lot about wrestling and knew a lot about the business.
That's cool. Yeah, that's just awesome.
He's a huge Dustin Reynolds fan and Austin fan. He talked them up like crazy during the podcast.
Well, yeah, he's going to say he's an Austin fan. But he probably is.
No, he legit is. You can tell. He was just like, he seemed like he was in paradise talking to Austin. Like, it was a dream come true for him. You could just hear it in his voice. And he
100%.
He thanked Austin like 6 times for having him on the podcast.
Yeah.
He just was very humble, and it was nice to see. Or hear, rather, not see.
Yeah. No, that's, I think 100%. That if he's such a big wrestling fan, just to be in the same room as Austin would probably be pretty cool. So, yeah, I totally get that.
I'm just really excited for AEW, dude. I mean,
I am too.
It's a good time to be a wrestling fan. I hope it becomes a good time to be a WWE fan again, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will. I think it's going to be really interesting, like we talked about last time, in October when all this, you know, happens. You're going to see a lot of competition, and that's going to be great for the business.
All right, so you know one thing that we forgot to do?
What's that?
Unless you did it. We forgot to pick a subject for next week.
We did.
Or not next week, but next episode.
Next episode, yeah. I think we're just going to have to leave you guys on the hook, and we'll see what it's going to be.
Yeah, because I honestly, like, we talked about thinking about one, and then it completely cleared my mind. I mean,
I have some ideas, but I don't really want to say it. So I'll know. I got some pretty good ideas, so we'll talk about it off the air.
Okay, cool. That sounds good.
All right.
So before we end this show, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good, man. We're all set.
All right. Well, I think this was a fantastic episode. I had a lot of fun. So I'm going to go ahead and say it now. If you want to follow us, or give us a 5-star review, that'd be great. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you want. Just any kind of review would be nice. Get us out there. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your dog. I don't care. Just tell people.
I mean, we got to make the 22 cents again.
You know, I'm really hoping that eventually we can make 44 cents. Oh, let's double it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we had a great time, and how about you end the show?
Okay. Yeah, so we will see you guys hopefully here in a few weeks. We got some good topics in my mind here. I have a good idea of what I want to talk about, so we'll see. But we'll see you here in a few weeks, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
And we are out.